por ahí. A mí me llamo. Pero es increíble. Power Chapter 20. Actually, in Nectar of Devotion, third chapter is actually fourth chapter, but actually we take the fifth, I mean introduction. Introduction is also part of your course. That will be an assignment for introduction also. Your exam also, introduction also. So, third chapter. So how we have gone through so far, the introduction defines pure devotional service, which is basically emphasized with one shloka. What is that? Anyavilashita Shunya. Then chapter 1 describes six characteristics of devotional service. Six characteristics, which includes the different way of sinful reactions and the different, sources of happiness, and in this way the six characteristics of pure devotional service are elaborately explained in chapter 1. Chapter 2, what we discussed last? In chapter 2, we discussed about the sadhana bhakti practice. Sadhana bhakti. Vaidhi bhakti and raganuga bhakti. So we learned how it is the vaidhi bhakti is based or dependent on some another source, and raganuga bhakti is spontaneous. It doesn't require any other source. And main attraction towards devotional service is the qualification, as we discussed earlier, that the person should have some link to his past life that he is getting devotional service. Or else the other option is, alternative is, he should be favored by the devotee. The loophole is there, you do more devotional service, you get more attraction towards it. You get more attraction, then you do more. Then after you do more, you get even more. This is a life cycle, it goes on. But how it starts, you should have the back, previous lives, some sukruti or a causeless mercy for the world. But further, in this chapter, chapter 3, the title is given by Srila Prabhupada is eligibility of the candidate for accepting devotional service. Because in last chapter it was very brief. The eligibility was very brief. Only one paragraph. But in this chapter it is in detail, it is described. And even not only in this chapter, but even the next chapter also it will be continued. About the eligibility of the devotee, to become a candidate for accepting devotional service. That means if the it is given in such a way, that means that to become a devotee is very difficult thing, it's not easy thing. Otherwise why Prabhupada is giving separate chapter for this? He's already mentioned Sudurlabha, devotional service of Sudurlabha. So now, in this chapter, let us read this first paragraph. On account of his association with Mahatmas, or great souls, 100% in the devotional service of the Lord, one may attain a little bit of attraction for Krishna consciousness, for Sri Krishna. But at the same time, one may remain very much attached to the positive activities and material sense enjoyment, and not be prepared to undergo the different types of renunciation. Such a person, if he has unflinching attraction to Krishna, becomes an eligible candidate for discharging devotional service. So here we say this to be understood, that not like some person who is there are many people who are not devotee, and for example, let's say Krishna is pure and we are not pure. How will we approach Krishna? Because we are not pure and devotional service is pure, Krishna is pure, so there is the element conflict. Isn't it? What is the element conflict means? Devotional service and Krishna, they both are made of spiritual energy. They are spiritual. Krishna is himself spiritual. And we are in contaminated state of our in three modes of consciousness. So in this case, how we will approach Krishna? Yeah, through his devotee. Otherwise there is no option. But means it here Prabhupada says even slight attraction, even very minor attraction towards Krishna can help. Devotional service is causeless. Consequently there are no prerequisites for taking up practice of sadhana bhakti. In beginning one does not even need of knowledge. In beginning you may not be expert or scholar or many things about God. You don't need all this. And you don't require even vairagya. You don't require detachment. So knowledge and detachment are not the source of devotional service. One should not think that to get bhakti one should have knowledge and detachment. No. But it is actually the other way. When you get devotional service, then knowledge and renunciation will come automatically. So it is sometimes said that bhakti has two sons. One is jnana and one is vairagya. They are two sons of mother bhakti. So attraction to serving Krishna is the only requirement. So as we read here, Prabhupada writes that unflinching faith or unflinching attraction to Krishna makes him eligible candidate for discharging bhakti. Prabhupada wrote here. Rupa Goswami says, substantiate this by quoting Lord Krishna's statement to Uddhava. It is already there in Bhakti Samrut. Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, chapter 20, text number 8. My dear Uddhava, only by exceptional fortune does someone become attached to me. And even if one is not completely detached from creative activities or is not completely attached to devotional service, such service is strictly effective. Or in other words, even if one is still attached to material life like us, still attached to material life, you can begin practicing devotional service, it has little attraction. People like us who are not fully purified. So Prabhupada writes so many, Prabhupada gave many lectures on this. We just read some of this Prabhupada's purpose only from this book. Attraction to Krishna is the only qualification of devotional service. But how one can get this attraction? By the mercy of pure. Prabhupada says, on account of his association with Mahatmas, great souls, 100% engaged in devotional service for the Lord, one may attain a little bit of attraction for Krishna. It's so important. Actually, Krishna doesn't know us. How can you serve Krishna? Krishna doesn't know you. you know, and our service is contaminated because our mood is contaminated, our heart is contaminated. We are trying to do some service, but the heart is not in the mood. We are not doing it, you know, the way it should be. Whatever service, even you can do Diti worship, you can do any other service. But Krishna will reject our services if there is no Guru in between. But if Guru is so kind that Guru knows that there is frequency are different, Krishna's frequency is different. He is completely spiritual and we are grossly material. You know, our consciousness is, you know, not pure. So because Guru is very kind, Guru, what he does, because he is pure, Guru is pure, what he does, he accepts whatever services we are offering, he accepts all the services. And then he offers from his side. He gives it to Krishna, like Krishna please accept. And then Krishna accepts. Yeah. And Krishna says, okay, because you accepted, that's I accept whatever I want. So whatever deity worship you do, whatever sadhana you do, whatever service you render, everything actually goes to Guru, not to Krishna. Because Krishna directly won't accept. Actually, Guru takes all this. Whatever you do, even you serve prasadam, you clean the temple, everything, that service will be accepted by Guru first. And then Guru will give it to Krishna. And then Krishna will, he will initiate, okay, he will take your service, whatever you want to. So this is the qualification to become devotee, to render service to spiritual master. That's why called Adav Guru Padashray. That's why it's mentioned. So actually we are devotees of our own desires. We are after fulfilling our sense enjoyment. And as we read here, we are reading here, we found that we may not have full attraction to Krishna consciousness. And we may not have full detachment to the material attraction. So in this case, most of the neophyte devotees, they are all coming in this category. You know, most of them, even we are also coming, most of, I can say for me, I am coming in that category. People generally, Vairagya, people generally think of Vairagya as a prerequisite for beginning spiritual life, but for devotional service, not. In fact, it can even be an impediment to bhakti. Vairagya, if you have any Vairagya, then knowledge also can become impediment to bhakti. If one is too attached from emotional and sensitive activity, he will not be inclined to devotional service. Because devotional service entails active use of senses and emotions. So one cannot, just by using the mean of knowledge or using the mean of vairagya, one cannot try to get to devotional service. That is, one requires Guru or one requires Mahatma. Prabhupada, in some of the purports in Srimad Bhagavatam mentioned, when one is not too attached to or detached from this material world and by some good fortune develops faith in the service of Krishna's lotus feet, he is considered to possess the adhikar for devotional service. It is in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Deha kenapi ati bhagena jata radhurta sevane nasti kakto na nati sakto na vairagya. Not attached, no detached. And in evidence in support, Srimad Bhagavatam says, if somehow or other by good fortune one develops faith in hearing and chanting my glory, such a person, being neither very disgusted with not with a discussion with not attached to material life to achieve perfection is a path of loving devotion to me. Prabhupada says in one of the purports, one of the lectures, Prabhupada says that one should never think that Krishna consciousness may not be accepted or devotional service cannot be adopted by the people who are grossly materialistic. Because Mahaprabhu has said, Prithivita Achyata Nagaraja Gram, that means Mahaprabhu can never be impractical. When he says that means everyone should accept and everyone is accepting Krishna consciousness. There are many people who, you know, rebel and who, you know, came against Krishna Prabhupada that Prabhupada is, you know, reviewing the Hindu religion. But Prabhupada said that it is not because Kriyata Munandra Pulinda Pulukash Adhira Shambha Yavana Kasadaya Siddhanti Tasmai Prabhavishnava Yama. In Srimad Bhagavatam it is said that even the lowest category of people, you know, Kirat, Hon, Andhra, Pulim, Pulkash, Adil, Shambha, Yavan, Kap. There are many like this. What is that? Adil, Shambha, Yavana, Kasadaya, Siddhanti Tasmai Prabhavishnave Namah. And before that, Yadupa Shreya Shreya. If such people, if they take shelter of your devotee, Tadupa Shreya Shreya, Ashraya Ashraya, they take shelter of your devotee, then they can Siddhanti, they can be purified. It's mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. So, anyone Bhagavad Gita says, Maam Chayo Abhyavish, now that is. Maam Hi Path of Yatashritya, Episu Papa Yonaya. Mami Partham Japas Ritya Yeti Papa Yonaya Sriya Vaishya Tathasutra Saityanti. Have you heard of it? What is the meaning of that?
Those women, Vaishya and Sutras, they can also become eligible for devotional service if they take center of the law.
Yeah. Mami Partha Vipashita Yetisu even Papa Yonaya. You know, were Papa Yoni means were very sinful. They can also become purified. So, Prabhupada says that after taking to Krishna consciousness, they do not remain Lekha, they do not remain Yavana. I didn't read the lecture because I just told the essence of it. Now, next comes, after this, Rupa Goswami says there are three different classes of devotees, three grades of eligible candidates. This is very important to know. You might have heard 1,000 times. This is, devotees may be divided into three classes. The devotee in the first class or uppermost class is described as follows. You can read it louder.
He is very expert in the study of revealed scriptures and he is also expert in putting forward arguments in terms of those scriptures. He can very nicely present conclusions with perfect discretion and can consider the ways of devotional service in a decisive way. He understands perfectly that the ultimate goal of life is to attain the transcendental loving service of Krishna, and he knows that Krishna is the only object of worship and love. This first class devotee is one who has strictly followed the rules and regulations under the training of a bona fide spiritual master and has sincerely obeyed him in accord with revealed scripture. Thus, being fully trained to preach and becomes a spiritual master himself, he is considered first class. The first class devotee never deviates from the principles of higher authority and he attains firm faith in the scriptures by understanding with all reason and arguments. When we speak of arguments and reason, it means arguments and reason on the basis of revealed scriptures. The first class devotee is not interested in dry speculative methods meant for wasting time. In other words, one who has attained a mature determination in the matter of devotional service can be accepted as the first class devotee.
Yes. Can you read the next two paragraphs also?
The second class devotee has been defined by the following symptoms. He is not very expert in the arguing on the strength of revealed scripture, but he has firm faith in the objective. The purport of this description is that the second class devotee has firm faith in the procedure of devotional service unto Krishna, but he may sometimes fail to offer arguments and decisions on the basis on the strength of the revealed scripture to an opposing party, but at the same time he is still undaunted within himself as to his decision that Krishna is supreme object of worship. The neophyte or third class devotee is one whose faith is not strong and who at the same time does not recognize the decision of the revealed scriptures. The neophyte faith can be changed by someone else with strong arguments or by an opposite decision. Unlike the second class devotee, who also cannot put forward arguments and evidences from the scripture, but who still has all faith in the objective, the neophyte has no firm faith in the objective. Thus he is called the neophyte devotee.
So, Prabhupada has given very good description of the three categories of devotees. Adhikari means candidate or a person who is qualified to become, you know, adhikari. There is also certain things like Shastra Vichar, Tattva Vichar, Tattva Vibhram, Tattva Vibhrama, Purushartha Vichar. There are different such things that are given in, you know, either Madhurya Kadambini or Bhajan Rasya, some of the books it is mentioned. Well, but it is mainly the thing is the same, Uttam Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, and because in one is having Tattva Vichar, one is having Tattva Vibhrama. The Madhyam is Tattva Vibhrama because he is not so strong in argument, but he is having good faith. And then there are different Purushartha Vichar and Purushartha Vichar and Upasya Vichar. Upasya Vichar is for Kanishka Adhikari. He knows only Lord, that's it, nothing else. And that is also sometimes sure. So here we got that what is the quality of Uttam Adhikari. Mainly, Uttam Adhikari is the one who sees everyone, devotee and he himself, considered to be non-devotee, who is equal to everyone. Equal, he considers everyone equal. And Madhyam Adhikari is the one who has very strong faith, but sometimes he is having less knowledge, not so, you know, arguments he cannot put forward. But Madhyam Adhikari is the one who can preach easily. You know, there is a very famous book from Madhyam Adhikari. What is that? Do you remember? Srimad Bhagavatam? Ya Karoti Samadhyama. Ishvareshu, Tadadineshu, Balisheshu, Visasucha, Prema Maitri, Hipopeksha, Ya Karoti Samadhyama. We say that Ishvareshu, you can just try to remember these four things. Ishvareshu, Tadadineshu means his devotee, God, his devotee. Balish means innocent, ignorant people. The third, and Visastu, envious. There are four kind of people. I mean four different engagements. One is God, second is devotee, third is ignorant, innocent people, Balish, and fourth is envious people, Veshi. these four kind of people, how he reciprocates? Prema, Maitri, Kripa, Kripa Peksha. To God, he loves. Prema. To devotees, he is having friendship. Prema, Maitri. Friendship. To innocent, he is having mercy in his heart. Kripa. Kripa. Bali Shishu Kripa. And envious people is Upeksha. He avoids. Yeah, Karoti Samadhyama. Whoever is doing this is Madhyama Adhikari. Prabhupada says that Uttama Adhikari means they are advanced people and he sees everyone as servant of Krishna. He sees everyone as devotees of Krishna. One should not imitate it. Prabhupada says that lower stage, although devotee is concerned with deity worship, it does not take much care of the devotee. No one concerned. You know, they give good respect to the deity, but they are not having good respect to the devotee. They are Kanishka. Recently, once, long back, I had some discussion. I was just sitting alone, along with Vishwanath and Prabhu. We both were alone. So we are just discussing about Kanishtha Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari. And Prabhuji says that the devotees who cannot give respect to other devotees, they are Kanishtha. They do not know Yathayogya Man. They do not know how to respect each and every devotee. They do not know. They are motivated or they are fueled with their own prestige, or their own whimsical. So such devotees are considered to be Kanishtha. Prabhupada says that it says somewhere in Bhakti Rasam Sindhu that when, Prabhupada says in one of his lectures, that when a person is doing deity worship, and if some devotee is coming to him, let us read Prabhupada's words. If a devotee is coming, then another devotee who is engaged in worship of the deity may stop this for time being. May stop this for time being. And go immediately to receive the devotee. Just imagine. Prabhupada says this. When you are doing puja, and some devotee is coming, then it is bad. First duty is to receive him, not the worship. Yeah. Prabhupada says this. Yeah. So Prabhupada says that mat bhakta puja abhi, puja abhyadhika. Krishna is more satisfied when a devotee worships his devotee. But we must know that what sort of devotee he should be. You should not just think, Krishna is well ranker than income. It's not that. It is like our authority, like we can say our devotees who are our gurus in guru category, like Kissa Guru or Diksa Guru or you know Prabhupada disciple or that kind of devotee. Then worship is not given priority. They are given priority. Of course Prabhupada did not mention this, but I assume like this. That it should be like this, but I think this is what Prabhupada means to say. It's not that any devotee comes and you just stop your worship, not that. So, here one point is very important. Prabhupada says, identification of this body, you know, false identification, I am this body, is the, you know, biggest obstacle for your person. You know, when anyone who has the identification of this body and is engaged in deity worship but does not actually realize his own self, does not know who is devotee and does not know what is his duty, and in this way he becomes Prakruta Bhakta. Prakruta Bhakta means Kanishna Adhikari. That's Prakruta Bhakta. Prakruta Bhakta means he is situated on the Prakruti level, on a material platform. But under the direction of the spiritual master. Still he is Prakruta Bhakta, but he is under the direction of the spiritual master. Under the direction of Shastra also, he is trying to improve his condition of material existence. He's trying to improve his material condition. He's Prakruta Bhakta. Sa Bhakta Prakruta Shrita. Prabhupada says we must try to improve ourselves from Prakruta Bhakta to Madhyam Bhakta. And from Madhyam Bhakta to Uttam Bhakta. So Prabhupada says that Mahabhagavata does not see anyone as non-devotee. He sees everyone as better than himself. But one should not try to imitate it. Vishnath Kaviraj Goswami says, Jagai Madai Vaita Mohita Papishtha Purishara Kita Vaita Mohita Lagishtha. It is very famous. What Vishnath Kaviraj says, I am the lower than Jagai and Madai. I am sinful than Jagai and Madai. And I am lower than Purishara Kita. Stool, warm in the stool. Yeah. But he is not speaking falsely. He feels like this. Prabhupada says this. Mahabhagavata feels like this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Amar jivana sada pape rata naika punyera lesh. If you read this song, I read it, I sing it. If you read this song, you know, he is, in every word he is giving bad names to himself. That para dukhe sukhi, para sukhe ujjwe giyami. I am happy when I see people, other people in distress. Thus, these things he has given. This is not artificial. He is feeling like that. Srimati Radharani, she feels like that, but I am the lowest. That's why devotee knows these things. She always sees the other gopis are better qualified to serve Krishna than her. And she feels that I am not qualified. And therefore in Vrindavan you will find that the devotees approach everyone called their Radhe. They call Radhe. Because if Radharani advocates for you to Krishna, it is very easily accepted. That's why Radharani is in Mahabharat position. And Madhyam Adhikari has already mentioned what is Madhyam Adhikari. Madhyam Adhikari in Mahaprabhu lecture, Prabhupada also says that my Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, sometimes used to lament because although he had so many disciples, but nobody was coming out as a very nice teacher. He was lamenting. We are simply keeping people in the Kanishka Adhikari and engaging them in Archana Mahar. That's not required. Kanishka Adhikari does not know who is devotee. He is very busy in temple worship for his personal interest. That is also good, but one has to promote further to become Madhyam Adhikari. So Madhyam Adhikari means he feels compassion for other living entities. That mood is there. You make discrimination. But this is, you know, like this fool, this is envious, and this is proper candidate for devotional service, or he can make discrimination. So sometimes we may feel that he is still not better. But Prabhupada says that creatures, you know, who are coming from Uttam Adhikari, they are Uttam Adhikari, but to preach this Krishna consciousness, they come to the platform of Madhyam Adhikari. From Uttam Adhikari to Madhyam Adhikari. That's for time being. Because until you become Madhyam Adhikari, you cannot preach properly. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, he is in Uttam Adhikari state. Because he is Radharani. You know, Mahaprabhu is not different from Radha Krishna. But Mahaprabhu himself took the position of a preacher. And he also discriminated people. Of course, we may feel that, no, he was equal to everyone. Yes, he was equal to everyone. in giving Krishna prema, he was equal to everyone. But the presentation was different. Like in Ramana, with talking with Ramananda Raya, it was full of bliss, full of devotional service. But while talking to Prakashananda Saraswati, he had to present with argument. While talking to Sarvam Bhattacharya, he had to present with argument. Even though Prakashananda and Sarvam, after coming to Mahaprabhu's cluster, they got equal Krishna prema. It's not that somebody is more and somebody is less. But as a preacher, it's a duty that what kind of, you know, message a person can understand. That is a preacher's duty. To give a proper dose to a proper patient. That's the guru's duty rather. So, guru is also coming on the medium level, just for the sake of preaching. Yesterday, who was there? No, today I was listening to one lecture. So, there is an example I was giving one devotee, Kamal Lachan, so he was giving one example. I was saying that in a company, in a big company, the promotions, when the promotions are given, that is given by, you know, MD. Directly, he will give promotion. It is a good thing, no? People will happily come and will go. But where there is a correction is required, you know, some punishment is required, so he has kept one person to do this, you know, to deal with this. He won't do directly. So Krishna is like that. Well, when there is something to give, you know, then he will personally give. When there is something to teach or something to correct or, you know, devotee, then he will appoint guru. Then a guru, he will ask guru that you do this, I won't do this. But that's why guru's job is tedious job. You know, guru has to become bad. He has to become hard. He has to, you know, like once I was listening one lecture, Vyaspida lecture, that in lecture Maharaj was saying that, you know, this is the toughest day for a spiritual master of Vyaspida, because he has to listen to his own glory. He is completely against to the principle of devotional service, to listen to his own glory. It's the first day. But because a person, a devotee is doing this service for Krishna, for his guru. Amarage guru haya tare ide. That's why he has to become, you know, bad to the disciple. He has to become hard to the disciple. He has to scold him. Hey, you're not doing that. He has to become hard. We have seen how Prabhupada used to be hard to his disciples. I remember when one devotee there said, the Maharishi Maharaj was there, Rameshwar Maharaj, Prabhupada asked them, they were in morning walk, Prabhupada said that I want Chaitanya Charitamrita, whole Chaitanya Charitamrita ready in 1 month. So, the immediate reply from the disciples was impossible, Prabhupada. Immediate reply. And Prabhupada was just, he was walking and the devotee said, impossible, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada immediately stopped. Same moment, he stopped. He turned back to the disciples. And then he took his walking stick and, you know, he pushed down to the you know, floor, and he said that impossible word is found in the foolish thing, not in the world. I want this to be done by any way, by anyhow I want it. They did it. So spiritual master sometimes becomes hard. You know, sometimes disciples, I have seen disciples also, that when guru becomes hard, they start feeling, you know, negative impression for guru. I have seen this. Disciples, they feel, oh, how can Guru Maharaj can do this? How can Guru Maharaj scold me? What is my fault? Yeah. I have seen people like this. Yeah. But, you know, this is our test, how we pass it. Spiritual master can become hard. So, preaching work is difficult. Madhyamadhikar is not easy thing. Madhyamadhikar is very difficult work. And in one more lecture, Prabhupada says, in lower category, Kanishtha stage, there are chances of fall down. One can fall by, you know, any slight attraction or you know, some deviation can lead him to fall down. Unless one becomes Madhyamadhikari, you know, neither he can be preacher and he has ample opportunity to go back, fall down. And who is pure devotee? Prabhupada says the pure devotee, the first class devotee, is the one who has complete faith, who has no other motive in devotion service, first class devotee. Now, just for your understanding, I just give some easy understanding of this as per the chart of that book. Faith and knowledge. I think I just zoom it and then you can read your own. That is better. Slide nahi rakha tha maine, aap dekh lo. Just turn this. Now you can see a little more. Faith and knowledge. And when you see Uttam, Uttam has strong faith, strong knowledge, convince and can convince others, can defeat opposite opinion. In Madhyam, strong convince, but then, you know, it is not power of convincing others. When there is knowledge, in faith, it is there, but knowledge, good knowledge, but can't always defeat opposing argument, you know, opinion. Then Kanishtha pull it down. Is weak in faith and easily swayed, and in knowledge is weak, cannot offer arguments to opposing opinion. He cannot understand. If somebody comes and asks me, why are you going to ISKCON? Then he's confused. What to answer? Why am I going to ISKCON? He's confused. Why you are chanting Hare Krishna? Then, you know, I have seen people, they say, why are you chanting? Because Prabhuji told me to chant. So, I always tell all the devotees that whatever you do, do it Ustad Nishtaya. Ustad Nishtaya. Do it Nishtaya. You know, with proper understanding. Not because everyone is chanting, so I should chant. Everyone is doing Maharaj, I should go. Until you understand it properly, with thoroughly, you may fall down anytime. If you do not understand it properly, you will fall down. You may fall down anytime. So, main thing is that in Kanishtha Adhikari, there are Kanishtha Adhikari, at last we come to Kanishtha Adhikari and more, little more, Rupa Goswami says, Prabhupada writes in the purport, that in Kanishtha Adhikari, there are still four more divisions. Just for understanding, I am just repeating once again about these three Adhikaris. Qualities, one by one, I am just repeating. If you want, I can give it in the print also. Uttam Adhikari. 1. He is expert in the study of relevant scripture. 2. He is also expert in putting forward arguments in terms of those scriptures. 3. He can present conclusion with discretion. 4. He can consider the ways of devotional service in a decisive way. Actually, everything is mentioned in Prabhupada's purport. You no need to, you know, just, but we have just made the point. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8, 9, 10. 10 points. Uttam Adhikari. 10 points in Uttam Adhikari. 2 points in Madhyam Adhikari. And 3 points for Kanishka Adhikari. Now further comes 4 divisions which is given in Bhagavad Gita. Sukruti. You know, in Kanishka Adhikari there are 4 Sukruti. Who have attachment, let's go with him. That's of devotion. Yeah. Further classification, you can read this paragraph.
Further classification of the neophyte devotee is made in the Bhagavad Gita. It is stated there that 4 classes of men, namely those who are distressed, those who are in need of money, those who are inquisitive and those who are wise, begin devotional service and come to the Lord for relief in the matter of their respective self-satisfaction. They go into some place of worship and pray to God for mitigation of material distress or for some economic development or to satisfy their inquisitiveness. And a wise man who simply realizes the greatness of God is also counted among the neophytes. Such beginners can be elevated to second class or first class platform if they associate with pure devotees.
Hmm. So actually, when we were discussing Bhagavad Gita, this chapter, we gave example of for each. Remember? What?
For inquisitiveness, Dhruva Maharaj.
No,
that Kumar, not Kumar.
No. Sukhdev. Sages of Naimisharanya. Shaunakadi Rishi. Then, second. What's that? Dhruva Maharaj is in Atharvi. In Jignyasu, Shaunakadi Rishi. Then, two more. Rajendra. And Jnani? Kumara. So, this, all 4 kind of people are actually pious people. Sukrutina. Chaturvidha Bhajantemam Jana Sukrutina Arjuna. They are pious people. But that they are pious people but not qualified for Siddha Bhakti. You know, they are pious but not qualified. Why? Why they are not qualified? What's that? Yeah, but why? There are some motives.
But they became purified after they got association of
yes. Their tendency, inclination. Tendencies, I mean, they have possibility, chances, piety, you know, it is there. Except the wise man, the jnani. Jnani is not having any motive. But these people, they have tendency, Kanishka, they are having tendency to leave devotional service once the desire is fulfilled. In between, if he takes to Krishna consciousness or he gets the association of a devotee, then is that. Prabhupada is very sharp here. Prabhupada says that Without pious activities, these four types of devotees have been described in 7 chapters Bhagavad Gita, and they all have been accepted as pious. Prabhupada writes, without becoming pious, no one can come to devotional service. And then further Prabhupada writes, without pious activities, if a man is in a distressed condition, he becomes an agnostic, a communist, or something like that. Because he does not firmly believe in God, he thinks he can adjust his distressed condition by totally disbelieving in God. So here Prabhupada is emphasizing mainly about, again he says that not that, you know, bhakti is causeless and independent, because we have learned this principle that bhakti is causeless and it is independent. It cannot be a result of ritualistic pious deeds, you know, like earlier. That's why the piety mentioned above refers to previous devotional activities, sukriti. That's why in the last line Prabhupada says that lack of piety means lack of firm belief in God. When a person who is having less faith in God is less sukriti. Prabhupada considers sukriti means faith in God. That means that without even a slight attraction towards God or faith in God, one cannot come to Krishna consciousness except if some devotee comes and helps. That is only cannot do. That's why it is important that even these four kind of people, Chaturvidha, Sukrutina, they can come up with the standard of devotional service if they get association of a pure devotee. So now, further, it mentioned that to begin practicing devotional service, the only qualification is an attraction for it. But to practice pure devotional service, one must renounce, free from all desires except the desire to please Krishna. It can be concluded that, Prabhupada writes, that a person who is free from bodily concepts of life is an eligible candidate for pure devotional service. So, all these four kind of wise people are, you know, best among the people, best among the men, because their inclination is to approach the Lord for material bodily benefit. You know, it is good than the other. A wise man who becomes attached to Krishna does not want any return from him, either in the form of relieving distress or gaining money. That means from the very beginning his basic principle for attachment to Krishna more or less is love. So Prabhupada is quoting Bhagavad Gita again that it is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita that after Brahma realization one is freed from material anxiety and can see every living entity on equal level is eligible to enter into devotional service. Now, here comes in the same next paragraph, in the same continuation. Without being elevated to the position of a jnani, a wise man, one cannot speak to the principle of worshipping Supreme Personality of Godhead. We go a little further. The perfect spiritual concept, however, the perfect spiritual concept of life is complete knowledge of one's constitutional position, in which one knows enough to doubt himself in the transcendental loving presence of the Lord. Somebody can read there.
One must know that he is finite and that the Lord is infinite. Thus it is not possible to actually become one with Lord even if one aspires for this. It is simply not possible. Therefore, anyone who has any desire or aspiration for satisfying his senses by becoming more and more important, either in the material sense or in the spiritual sense, cannot actually relish the really sweet taste of devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami has therefore compared possessing these bhakti, material and mukti liberation desires with being influenced by the black heart of which in both cases one is in trouble. Bhakti means material enjoyment and mukti means to become free from material anxiety and to become one with the Lord. These desires are compared to being haunted by ghosts and witches, because while these aspirations for material enjoyment or spiritual oneness with the Supreme remain, no one can relish the actual transcendental taste of devotee service.
Yes. So, bhakti and mukti, they also become impediment of in coming to devotional service, because bhakti means material exquisite, what do you call admiration, material desire. Bhakti means material desire, and that's why while having this material desire heart, they may have, you know, you can consider this neophyte devotees in this bhakti and mukti. But Prabhupada says, that mukti, desirous people for mukti, they are even worse in condition than the bhakti. One who tries to merge with the Lord, that is very, you know, dangerous for coming to God. There are mukti and bhakti, they kick out, the devotees, they kick out those material desires. Mukti and mukti is completely weak. You know, what do you call it? Anartha, coming out of the devotional stuff. When you are having, you know, Shravanam Kirtanam, along with the Bhakti Lata, there are these are coming out. Bhakti, Mukti, desire for Bhakti and Mukti. So, devotees, they require to understand, if we just try to understand the Sikshashtakam is going in wonderful flow. It is not that randomly there are 8 shlokas and it, you know, you just understand it one by one different philosophy. No, from text number 1 to text number 8, it is a whole philosophy, whole theory, you know, it comes one by one, it's in a flow. So, Chetadar Paramahajan starts it. So when you chant, when you start accepting Krishna consciousness, then your cleansing of the heart starts. But because when you go to the next shloka, we don't go into detail, but if you go to the next shloka, Namna Makari Bahuda, then you will find that the anartha, actually as the nature of the holy name is like this, when you start chanting the holy name, you will feel the, you know, Harinamad Mahamantra Aita Sabhav Jai Jape Saramane Upajai Bhav. It's like that. When you chant the holy name, you should feel the ecstasy. But you do not feel. Nam Nam Akari Bahudani Je Sarva Sakti Satrapita Niyamita Smarnena Kala Eta Drishita Kripa Bhagavanai Dur Devam Idrisham Jani Nanugara. I do not feel any attachment to the holy name. Why? Because of anartha. Sadhu Shraddha, then Sadhu Sangha, then Bhajana Kriya, then anartha nirvritti. Because of attachment. Or because of anarthas are there. So much anarthas are there, and it can bring you the, you know, anarthas are very, very, you know, subtle. Sometimes I call it anartha gross and anartha subtle. What is it? Also there are different categories. You can sometimes take the lecture on that anartha, but there is, you know, obvious kalatvam, hriday dorbalyam, you know, there are different 4 categories are there. So these anartha, they become impediment to taste the holy name. of the Lord. We are not aware. We come and we, you know, we still settle on earth like to fill ego, prestige, or envy, or you know, some hatred. Like this. They are subtle on earth in our heart. But that's why we must not forget that when Krishna has billions and billions of servants. So, you know, yesterday when I was in lecture in the temple, I pointed the same point. That if you do not do one service, don't think that nobody, this service will suffer. Krishna has thousands of servants. If you want to do the service, somebody else will come and serve. So in billions and billions of devotees are there, we are rendering a very insignificant service, very insignificant. We should feel ourselves as insignificant. Or more properly understand that everyone has occupied their space, so their position. For the best, you know, topmost devotee, Radharani has occupied the position. Then to the Sakhis, there are all Ashta Sakhis and many other Sakhis, they have occupied the position. And Manjaris, there are many Manjaris who have occupied the position. So where is your number? Our number will be, you know, Das, Dasanu, 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 then hundreds and thousands and millions and billions, you know, downward servants. And even though if you can get that place, still you should consider yourself as fortunate. And I got the place somewhere in the, you know. Or in other words, you got initiation, that means that you somehow or other you are accepted by Krishna. Somehow or other. Otherwise you are not qualified to be accepted by Krishna. Somehow or other, Guru accepted you. That's right. So one understanding should be very clear. That's why this feeling of, you know, insignificant. We are insignificant. Yeah, you know, that insignificant, the next look comes to another definition. When you start feeling, when you want to avoid anarthas, you start feeling in yourself insignificant. Anartha, I mean, Tradapi. When you feel it, Tradapi, then Tadapi, then Amanina Margana, then comes Kirtanis Pari, then you are coming on Sudhana. And then you feel the mukti desire is zero. Mama Janmani Janmani Ishvare Bhavatatma. That is what is given in the next paragraph in this chapter, Bhakti Samitri. Prabhupada says that I do not want, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Najanam, Najanam, Nasundari, Kavitam Bhaya Vishwa. So liberation from the bodily concept substantially deepens once the realization that the objective of life is to satisfy Krishna, not the bodily health. However, liberation comes automatically to a devotee as a byproduct of devotional service, but he should not separately endeavor for it. Prabhupada is giving an example of ghostly haunted person. When a ghostly haunted, he is forced to fulfill the desires of the ghost and witch who possess him. Similarly, who is haunted by desire of bhakti and mukti cannot act on the platform of bhakti. It is not in that, it is in this book, Ways of Devotion. Instead, the ghost of bhakti and the witch of mukti is compared like this. Ghost of bhakti and witch of mukti. This forced him to spend all his energy in pursuit of sense clarification and liberation. So, desire for bhakti and mukti becomes impediment to come to Krishna consciousness. Now, conclusion is, the only qualification to begin devotional service is the mercy of a devotee. That's what's conclusion. When fuses one faith, I mean one, one with the attraction to the Lord. Second, the qualification to advance in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti depends upon the maturity of one's knowledge of and faith in the scripture. Third, The qualification for practicing pure devotional service is liberation from the bodily constructs of life, characterized by the realization that one should abandon all his desires and endeavor only to please Krishna, including mukti, desire for mukti. So this is the conclusion of this chapter. And now, next chapter that we'll take next time, we will further discuss about there's some more quotation. Actually, in this chapter, there are few quotations. You know, there are three, four quotations. That's the Prabhupada.
Okay.
Third chapter. If you see the last paragraph, Prabhupada says, then in Bhagavatam we say like this, that is the Prabhupada says. One is Bilva Mangal Thakur, second is Kapil to Devuti, third is Uddhav to Krishna, fourth is Kapil to Devuti, and sixth is Guru Maharaj. These are different quotations. So that I'm not reading them, because it is just as an evidence for this. Text number is given already, 325-36, 3415, 325-34, and 4910. So we stop here, third chapter.